Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, the prophet Ezekiel lived at the same time that Jeremiah lived. He wrote, preached, and prophesied the same time that Jeremiah did. Ezekiel, he lived in captivity in Babylon while Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem. If you look back at chapter 1 of Ezekiel, where all this began, Ezekiel received a vision of God. Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now throughout the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel tells us about the visions of God that he received. If you read through the book of Ezekiel, you'll notice that it's very similar to the book of Revelations. I'll tell you the reason for it. John and Ezekiel saw the same person. They both received a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel received a vision of Christ, and he faithfully preached Christ. He faithfully declared this vision of Christ throughout his book. And by God's grace, we preach Christ too. So here's my question this morning. Why? The title of the lesson is, why do we preach Christ? Well, number one, we preach Christ because the hand of God puts men into ministry. Verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, no man can preach Christ unless God puts him into ministry. God's got to put a man into ministry. How can they preach except they be sent? The Apostle Paul was in ministry, wasn't he? And he thanked God because God, Paul said, put him into ministry. Now that's a great burden to have the ministry, the word of God laid upon you, but what an honor, great joy that God would put his hand on a man and put him into ministry to preach Christ. And the man that God puts into ministry will be faithful. He'll be a faithful man. He'll be faithful to preach Christ. Now, if he puts himself into ministry because he thinks, you know, the life of a preacher is so easy, hard telling what he'll do. But if God puts a man into ministry, he'll be faithful to preach Christ. And when God puts a man into ministry, God will give that man a hearing too. These dry bones, this valley of bones that Ezekiel was put in, they represent God's people. I'll show you that later on. These bones represent God's people. And Ezekiel was put right down in the middle of them because Ezekiel is one of them. He's one of those dry bones by nature. And he preaches, and all Ezekiel is a sinner preaching to other sinners. God puts a man in the ministry, and then God puts people in the ministry too. He puts people in that ministry to hear of Christ, to worship together. He puts people in that ministry to be saved by that message of Christ. He puts his people in that ministry to be fed the word of God. And he puts them in that ministry to support that ministry. We preach Christ because God has put a man in a ministry to do just that, to preach the gospel. God hadn't called me to do social work or, you know, try to change our society and all the ills of society. God puts a man in a ministry for this purpose, to preach Christ. Second, we preach Christ because men are dead in sin, and Christ is their only hope. Look here at verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, this valley was full of very dry bones. Apparently, at some point in history, there had been a great battle there. Two armies met, and many men died in that battle. And the battle must have been a long time ago, because by the time Ezekiel comes to this valley, there's no bodies lying around, just bones. The bones aren't even lying there in whole skeletons. The bones have been scattered all around, you know. All the soldiers died, and you know, the decay happened. The animals came and tore the bodies apart and took the bone here and there. And just, the bones are not all together in a skeleton. They're scattered everywhere. All hope of life is gone. The bones aren't even in the form of a skeleton, and they're very dry. They're sun bleached, they're scorched, bleached white by the sun. Now that's a picture of man by nature. Our father Adam, many, many, many years ago, was in a battle. He was in a battle with sin. He was tempted by sin, and Adam was slaughtered by sin. It was a great slaughter. A whole army didn't just die. A whole race died. Adam's whole race died. Scripture says, in Adam, all die. The soldiers whose bones are left in this valley, they didn't just there and die by natural causes. They were slain. They were put to death by the enemy. That's us. We are slain by the enemy. Sin has killed us. And this valley was a horrible sight. All these bones, oh my, the carnage and the death and the misery. And that's what God's preachers see. You want to know why a man's faithful to preach Christ? Because it's heartbreaking to see the effect of sin on people. Oh, we're in a valley of very many bones, dry, dead bones. It's heartbreaking. Now, I know dead is dead. You know, we can't bring somebody back to life if they've been dead for a few minutes or many years. You know, I know someone's heart may stop. We may shock it and get it, you know, to restart. But once God has taken the spirit from the body, there is no putting that life back in that body. Well, dead is dead, but you and I haven't been dead for a short time. We've been dead a long time. I mean a long time. All hope of life is gone. These bones are very dry. But I want you to look at the question the Lord asked in verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, what a question. I mean, I just envision myself in this valley of dry bones. This question wouldn't have even occurred to me. Can these bones live? It's out of the question. Of course these bones can't live. They're very dry. The question just wouldn't even have occurred to me. It shows you what we know, doesn't it? It's no wonder we don't have all the answers. We don't even know the right questions. You can't get, we don't have the right questions, and certainly we don't have the right answers. You can't get the right answers from the wrong questions. God's got to give us first the right questions, and then he gives us the answer. And the answer is always Christ. If you've got a question, and the question to your answer is not Christ, you got the wrong question. The right questions all have the same answer. It's Christ. Now, I want you to look what Adam has made God's elect by nature. I mean, this is a mess of dry bones. They're scattered everywhere. You couldn't tell which bone belongs to which body. And they're very dry. They're very dead. They're very scattered. Can these bones live? These bones that are scattered and so dry, can they live? Well, human logic says this. If these bones are going to live, we got to do some organizing, don't we? We got to put the hip bone to the leg bone to the whatever bone, to the toe bone, to the knee bone. We're going to have to do some organizing. And then we're going to have to pump some life into these skeletons, you know. Now, human logic says, here's what life is. Someone is alive. They have life if they're moving around, they're talking, they're acting like they're doing something. So what we need to do with these bones is replicate that. We'll get the bones together. And in order for them to move, we're going to put some strings on them. And we'll be like, have them like a marionette. You know, we'll get them moving around and looks like they're alive. At least we're going to count them as ones that are alive. Now, that's not life. I mean, how foolish is that? If somebody was trying to do that with the skeletons out the cemetery, we'd put them in an institution. They're a danger to themselves and others is what we'd say. But that's exactly what's going on at this very moment in this town and towns all across this country in false religion. They're trying to organize things and get someone to act a certain way, get them to confess with their mouth and be baptized, get them to start tithing, get them to start doing some witnessing, to get them to take some classes on how to live the Christian life, and they call that salvation. Now look at Romans chapter 10. I know that's what human logic says, but what does God say? I mean, that's all that counts, is what does God say is spiritual life? Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and I don't leave this out, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe in your heart. Salvation's a heart work. Salvation is not an organizational work. Salvation is the giving of a new heart. Life comes from within. Life comes from the heart. And the movement of this outer body is evidence of life from within. Salvation is in the heart. Salvation is God giving a new heart. And that salvation is confessed by the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If God gives you a new heart, it'll come out on you. You're not saved because you confess with your mouth. You're saved because God gave you life from within. There's a difference there, isn't there? Well, can these bones live? Who can put a heart, a living heart, in a dead man? The only one I know who can do that is God. Can these spiritually dead live? O Lord, thou knowest. If you give them life, they'll live. Why do we preach Christ? Because men are dead in sin, and Christ is the only hope a dead sinner has. Thirdly, why do we preach Christ? We preach Christ because God's commanded us to preach Christ. Look back in our text, Ezekiel 37, verse 7. Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." God gave a commandment to preach Christ. This is not optional. God gave us a commandment to preach Christ. And he's given us a commandment to preach a specific message, and that message is Christ. Now look back at verse 4. Again he said unto me, "Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Now there are several things here about this message of Christ we're to preach. First, the gospel of Christ is for sinners. Isaiah's commandment wasn't to living soldiers, was it? It was to dry, dead bones. And his message to the bones is here. Now, if you're not dead in sin, the message of Christ is not for you. If you're not guilty and ruined by sin, the gospel message is not for you. But if you're dead in sin, if you're ruined by sin, if you're undone by sin, if you're guilty in sin, your bones have been scattered, then the gospel message is for you. If you have no hope, the gospel message is for you. And second, the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel of Christ is, "I will and you shall." The message of the gospel is not do. The message of the gospel is done. Christ has done it all. The message of the gospel is not what you're going to do for God. The message of the gospel is what God's already done for sinners in his Son. Your dry, dead bones. No hope. Can't do anything. But God says, "I will. I will give you life. I'll put breath in you. I'll give you life from within." Remember, God made Adam out of the dust. There lay that body. What does Scripture say God did with that body? He breathed life into him. And Adam became a living soul. God breathes spiritual life into his people. And they live spiritually. "I'll put life in you. I'll put breath in you." And God says, "I'm going to lay sinews upon you." That's tendons that hold the bones together. Well, that can't be anybody but Christ. Colossians 1 verse 17 says, "Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist." By him all things are held together. What holds a believer together? What holds you to God? What holds you to each other? It's Christ, the sinews that hold you together. And God says, I'll bring flesh upon you. And that word flesh is actually a person. I'll bring a person upon you. That's a new birth. God's going to cause you to be born again, to cause a new man to be born in the image of Christ. And he says, I'll cover you with skin. I'll give you a covering. That's what our skin, all our skin is a covering. That covering's the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to cover you. God says, this is what I'll do. I will, and you shall. Because I will, you shall live. You're going to have life. And because I do this, I will, and you shall. You shall know I am the Lord. I'm going to do this for you, and you're going to know God did this. It's not something I did. God did this. He did this in me, and he did this for me. That's the message we're commanded to preach. We preach this message, the message of Christ we were commanded to. Fourthly, we preach Christ because preaching Christ will produce results, true results. Now, God's commanded us to do what we cannot do. Ezekiel told the dry bones, live. He told the dry bones, hear. Well, the dead bones can't hear. They're dead. They don't even have ears. They're dead. When we preach the gospel, we command sinners, you hear what God said. I command spiritually deaf people to hear God, but they can't hear. They're dead. Now, God's commanded us to preach, hasn't he? He's commanded us to speak, and that by his grace, that's what we do. Week after week after week, we preach. And you sit and listen. And one day, God speaks. One day, there you sit, and God Almighty speaks, and you hear. You'll never hear if all you hear is me. But if you belong to Christ, God's going to speak to you. And when God speaks, sinners hear, and there's a result. My sheep hear my voice, and what's the result? They follow me. Now, there's a noise when the gospel's preached. Sometimes that noise, it could be saber rattling. You know, maybe those dry, dead bones, they rebel. They don't like the sound of the gospel. Sometimes the noise we hear is God beginning to work on his people. But one way or another, every time we preach, there's results. Look, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Every time we preach. It might not necessarily be the results we pray for, but we can't say, well, I'm discouraged with this ministry because there's no results. No, there's results every time. Look, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one were the savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. Now, who is sufficient for these things? When the gospel is preached, it either produces life, it produces a blessing to the heart of faith, or it produces death to the heart of unbelief and just adds to the condemnation of those who refuse to believe. That happens every single time the gospel is preached. Every time we preach Christ, God's purpose, his eternal purpose, is accomplished. Now, Ezekiel preached as he was commanded, and there were results. All the bones came together. Look here at verse 7 back in our text, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel preached as he was commanded, and this is what's happened. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, lo, the sinews came, and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, all the bones came together. They formed skeletons. Just suddenly all this rattling. Can you imagine all the noise, those bones, you know, going and finding their mate and all joining together? Just like God promised, sinews came on the, and flesh came on those skeletons. And those skeletons stood up, a great army. They all stood at attention in their rows, perfect rows, nice and orderly. The false prophets say, don't anybody move. Let me take a picture of this. This is just what we want. Look at this order. Everything's perfect, just like we wanted it to be. But there's one problem. They're not breathing. Oh, they look good, don't they? But there's no life within. They're just as dead standing there as they were when they were scattered bones. There's no life in them. Brethren, the form of life, what looks like life, is not spiritual life. The form of doctrine is not spiritual life. Talking the talk, using the right jargon, that's not spiritual life. Getting all of our doctrinal ducks in a row, you know, and everything's nice and neat and just the way, you know, it all makes sense to us. That's not spiritual life. You know, just saying, like, all my Calvinistic ducks in a row, well, you're still dead. Salvation is not in Calvinism. Christ is the Savior. There's no spiritual life until God breathes life into a person in the new birth. There's no life until Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Until the Spirit dwells in us, there's no life. So fifthly, why do we preach Christ? We preach Christ because the preaching of Christ is the only message the Holy Spirit will bless. Look at verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet an exceeding great army. You see, there is no life in the army until Ezekiel prayed that the wind come from the four points of the compass and blow life into these dead bodies. Now look at John chapter 3. What on earth is that? Where's the gospel in that? Well, the gospel in that is the new birth. This is the Holy Spirit coming, giving life. In John chapter 3, verse 6, this is, you know, this conversation our Lord's having with Nicodemus. Our Lord says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two totally different natures. So marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind, how does it happen that you're born again? Well, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of a spirit. Now, many of you, like me, you've heard the gospel many, many, many times. And suddenly, one day, you believed. You heard the gospel many times. But suddenly, you loved what you heard. Maybe you agreed. Yeah, this is true. But now it's more than just agreement. This is true. Now you love what you hear. What happened? What caused the difference? The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit blew and gave life. Now, I don't know where it came from. I can't explain how he worked, but I know he did it. How do you know? Because now there's life where there's been nothing but death. Now there's belief and faith where there's been nothing but unbelief. Now there's love where there's been nothing but hatred of God. The Spirit did that. You see, we don't get results from our efforts to organize everything, get everybody doing just what we wanted to do. No, God gives life. God, the Holy Spirit, gives life, and he does it through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, this is very important. I hope you'll listen to me. If there's one thing I could get you to do, this would be it. To pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will bless his word. That's what Dale said. Oh, I pray the Spirit will sweep over our soul. There'll be no blessing unless the Spirit gives it. I beg of you, throughout your week, anytime I come to your mind, pray for me. I beg of you. There's an old preacher who this is reported that he said this. He knew it was time for him to retire because preaching got so difficult. And he's afraid it's because the people quit praying for him. Brother Roy tells me all the time, I pray for you. I pray for you every day. Janet often tells me, I pray for you. And there'll be times I'm in my study and I'm looking and they all don't see anything. I'm just, oh, what a misery. Just work, 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 work. I don't see anything. And suddenly, there he is. There's a Savior. There's Christ. Now I see the message. And I think to myself, somebody's prayed for me. I think that just, I can't tell you how often that happens. I beg of you that you pray that the Lord bless me in the study. Pray that the Lord give me a message for you from His Word. Pray the Lord give me some understanding of His Word and the ability to preach it faithfully, to preach it in love for Him and love for you. Because no man can preach unless the Spirit blesses him. We just read, who's sufficient for these things? Nobody. You'll never receive a blessing unless God the Holy Spirit blesses the preacher. That's just so. Every preacher would be a better preacher if the Spirit would bless. Then pray for him. Pray for him. Now Spurgeon said the success of his ministry came from the people constantly praying for him. And the man who knows he's not sufficient for this will beg your prayers. I beg of you that you pray for me and pray for yourself. Pray that the Spirit will give you life. Pray that the Spirit will bless the Word to your heart. You'll not get any life or blessing unless He does. Do you love your children? Pray the Spirit will come. Bless the gospel. Bless the Word to the hearts of your children. How about the lost in our community? Oh boy, we're in a valley of very dry bones, very many. Can these bones live? They will if God blesses. They will if the Spirit comes, and the only way He'll do it is through the preaching of Christ. Now this prophecy is for the people of God. This prophecy is specifically for the people of God. Look here in verse 11 in our text. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones, I'll tell you who they are. They're the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, O my people, I'll open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now I know that this prophecy refers to the nation Israel, that they will, once they're in captivity at this time, they will return to Jerusalem. And they did, didn't they? But more importantly, this message, this prophecy is to spiritual Israel. And God says to spiritual Israel, you're in your graves, you're dead in Adam, but I'm going to give you life. I'm going to come and save all of my people. And I know it may look like there's no hope. It may look like there's no results. What's going on? There's no results. But my friend, don't ever lose hope. As long as there's breath in the body, don't ever lose hope because God's able. He's going to save His people. What are we to do? God's the one who's going to save His people. What we're to do is be faithful to do what God's commanded us to do. Just preach Christ. Our job is not to produce results. Our job is to be faithful, obedient servants. Just do what God's given you to do. Just preach Christ and pray and wait on Him to give the increase. And what joy, what confidence to know He will. How do I know He will? He just promised. The one who cannot lie just promised. Then we're going to preach Christ. And we're going to be faithful to wait, pray, and to wait on Him. He's going to say,